Allobiont explores how organisms in the living world are really superorganisms, formed by a host and all of its communities of microorganisms. To explore these interactions in sickness and in health, I interview researchers at the crossroads of microbiology, evolution, immunology, computational biology, and beyond. So, hello, Xuan Li. Do you want to start by presenting yourself and telling us about your academic background?
I'm a first-year DPS student at the Jenner Institute, and my previous research when I was an undergraduate is about synthetic biology. And my current research is about tuberculosis, which is the influence of cytomegalovirus infection on the risk of MTB infection and the mechanism about it.
Can you maybe start just by telling us a brief summary of the two pathogens? So what kind of, you know, viruses and bacteria they are and what kind of infections they cause?
Yeah, so tuberculosis is an intracellular pathogen. So the tuberculosis is caused by the pathogen, which is called Mycobacterium tuberculosis. And there are a lot of lung tuberculosis mycobacteria, but the MTB caused most of the diseases. Yeah, so tuberculosis, we know it's a very serious problem all over the world. So like in last year, COVID has killed around 2 million people. TB still killed 1.5 million people every year. Yeah, so it's still a very serious problem in the world.
Yeah, and then CMV is just like a double-stranded DNA herpes virus.
Yeah, yeah, and a lot of people all over the world recently infected with both MTB and CMV. So like around one-fourth of the world's population is latently infected with MTB. So the latent infection means it's like a kind of the asymptomatic infection. So you just got infected with MTB but do not present any symptoms. And about the infection of the CMV, it's also people are latently infected with CMVs. So like in the South Africa, maybe 80 to 90% of the adults are infected, or even 100% of them are infected or latently infected with CMV, but most of them would not present any symptoms during their lifetime.
And so the initial link between the two diseases and that there might be a potential association between worsened outcomes, how was that first documented? Was it on cohorts, like from epidemiological data?
The first link is the epidemiology data. So they found in the region with higher CMV, infection rate, like in the Africa, the rate of tuberculosis is higher than that in the region with lower CMV infection rate. And this is the epidemiology data, and the other data is from a cohort study, which is a phase 2B vaccine trial. We currently already have a vaccine for the tuberculosis, which is the BCG. And however, the BCG efficacy against pulmonary TB disease is highly variable. It's high in some regions, like in the UK. However, its efficacy is low in some high burden regions, such as South Africa and India. So around 2013, my supervisor, which Helen McShane, led a phase 2B clinical trial for a new TB vaccine, which is MV85A. In this study, unfortunately, they didn't find that MV85A is effective against TB. However, they can use the samples to investigate what kind of factors are associated with the risk of MTB infection or TB disease. And in this study, they found, T cell activation is correlated with the risk of TB disease. And we know that CMV is a very strong inducer of T cell activation. So we also investigated the relationship between CMV infection and the risk of TB disease. And we found among CMV positive infants, the risk of TB disease is higher than that in the CMV negative infants.
And I mean, how robust is this association? Because I don't know how large the cohort was, but maybe there's also, you know, socioeconomic factors or even a high burden of other chronic infections, maybe HIV too. So
yeah, so all of the infants are not HIV infected and they are healthy when they are recruited. Yeah, so, and I think the social economic status of the infants are quite even in the regions they conducted the clinical research. And the number of cohorts is around 200, more than 200 infants. And they did a case control study. So they controlled the some variables such as the sex, ethics, yeah, and the age of the infants and so on.
And so what kind of data did you look at to find out the mechanistic basis of this?
Actually, this is what I'm still doing. You can measure some immune parameters, such as the plasma concentration of a lot of cytokines or chemokines. And you can find if they are correlated with MTB or CMV. If they are correlated with both TB disease and CMV infection, then they might mediate this positive correlation between CMV infection and TB disease.
Even in the absence of TB infection, does CMV infection by itself like modulate your baseline activation of your immune system or cytokine level?
Yeah, of course. So like, as I mentioned before, the CMV infection can increase the T-cell activation level. So like in adults, around 10 to 40% of your CD8 T-cells, if you are CMV infected, are CMV specific T-cells. Yeah, so they can occupy a lot of resources.
And then like what more specifically were the cytokines or chemokines that are the most significantly linked? The kind of the best candidates for a potential correlate?
Currently we found is TNF-alpha. Yeah, but we still don't know the mechanism behind this. And they can also, a CMV infection can also increase the expression of some complements, like complement C2 and C4.
But it's quite likely that the link is via influence on the immune system, but not like direct competition at the single cell level of the virus and the bacterium, right?
Yeah, I don't think that is mediated by the influence on the single cell level, though they CMV and MTB can both infect monocytes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but we know that MTB can also infect some other immune cells like the macrophage and neutrophils. And the main target of the CMV infection is the epithelial cells. So I tend to think that the correlation happened in the immune system level instead of the single cell level.
And when you look for CMV positivity, do you just look at antibodies or do you actually use a viral detection method for reactivation?
We just use the CMV specific immune response to measure the CMV infection. Yeah, because because we know that CMV infection is mostly a latent infection, so we don't have a lot of copies of the DNA of CMV in the blood. So it's better to measure the immune response to the CMV to indicate the infection status of the infants. However, we have to admit that it's not the best way to characterize the CMV infection. Yeah, it's only the technical reasons that we cannot measure the CMV DNA in the blood.
And then, I mean, your research currently, are you still analyzing the data from these cohorts or are you also like using animal challenge models or other in vivo models?
I'm doing in both ways. So on the one hand, I'm measuring some immune response to the CMV and MTB from the cohort samples. And on the other hand, I'm also going to do some animal models to try to investigate this problem. Yeah, so in the animal models, you can block some molecules by the antibodies to investigate the mechanism. Yeah, I'm doing both ways.
And so are these non-human primate models?
Here in Oxford, we just have the mice model instead of the non-human primate model.
Yeah, but CMV is definitely very species specific, like they've evolved with their host. So after like do the same experiments with a murine CMV, for example?
Yeah, I'm going to use the murine CMV.
What do you think are the main like implications of these findings? Does it mean that it's even more important to be vaccinating against CMV? Like, there are no currently developed vaccines, right? Or like they're in phase 2 and 3 trials?
And another indication is that, so previously we think that CMV only latently infects most of the people and they don't cause any symptoms. So we don't like treat for the CMV. If CMV can actually increase the risk of MTB infection or TB disease, then we may consider that we need to use some antiviral drugs to treat CMV infection.
So part of the CMV transmission is via breast milk, right? By breastfeeding?
Yeah, breastfeeding. Yeah.
And do you think that the effect is strong enough that in those regions we should advise that women do not breastfeed their children if they're known to be CMV positive? Or in a way, because, you know, breast milk also gives other immune and nutritional advantages, would that actually do more harm than good?
I don't think that it's a feasible choice, because CMV can also be transmitted by the saliva. It's mainly transmitted by the body fluid. So even you don't do the mother feeding, there are still a lot of ways to transmit the CMV. Yeah, and we know the feeding by the mothers can provide other benefits for the infants, like they can provide some antibodies to the infants. So I don't think that it's a feasible way.
Most people are infected by like 8 to 12 chronic viruses and multiple herpes viruses. So is CMV kind of an exception that it's detrimental to MTB infection? Or do you think that other herpes viruses, for example, Epstein-Barr or herpes simplex, could also be having similar effects and worsening the outcomes of TB?
We also investigated the relationship between EBV and TB disease, and we don't find any association.
Right.
Yeah.
And do you think that it could be possible that any either acute or chronic infections could actually be beneficial for TB outcome? Like, there are some documented cases where, for example, with HIV, like having a GVVC infection, which is like a hepatitis virus, that the patients actually had a better HIV outcomes. So do you think that there could be any, you know, rather than negative links?
Yeah, of course, because actually I've read some papers about this. So actually the evidence between the infection of two pathogens is kind of controversial. So like in one research, they did some experiments in the mice and they found the mice version of EBV can actually benefits the mice from the Listeria monocytogene infection and also from the pertussis infections. And they found that this mechanism is mediated by the interferon gamma.
Right. So like none of these have been uncovered so far for MTB, but they could well be plausible, you think?
Yeah. Yes. And we have to note that in the paper that I mentioned, the secondary pathogen is acute infection, like the Listeria monocytogene. And the MTB is mostly latent infection. So there might be some difference.
And then aside from CMV, what are the main like documented risk factors for TB infection? And are any of these modifiable? So maybe, for example, if any HLA alleles are linked, that's genetic, so that's not really modifiable. But are there any on which we can really have interventions that could reduce the disease burden?
So there are some factors that can increase the risk of TB disease, such as HIV infection and diabetes.
If your HIV infection is treated with antiretroviral therapy, does it still remain to keep a worse outcome?
Actually, they found the risk of TB disease actually happens when the CD4 T cell count does not decrease too much. Yeah, I don't know about the specific data of this. I think that maybe the antiviral treatment can decrease the risk of TB. Yeah, because as I said, the risk of TB disease is already increased in the first year of HIV infection, and at this time, the CD4 cell counts do not decrease too much.
Yeah, it's kind of surprising because you said that it was linked to higher levels of activation, whereas HIV actually results in like a depressed CD4 repertoire. So either excess levels or too low levels are both detrimental for TB.
A common sense in the TB field is that CD4 T cells that's secreting the interferon gamma can be protective for the TB disease. And this is the reason that we use the viral vector. When my supervisor led the first phase 2B trial, they used the viral vector to anti the antigens so that they can induce very strong CD4 T cell response to the T cells. So when I say the T cell activation, what I really mean is the T cell activation of the whole T cell population instead of the MTB specific T cells.
Okay. And then, yeah, maybe to finish off, what, like in your research in like the next 2 or 3 years, what specific questions are you going to want to answer?
I have already found some factors that might mediate the positive correlation between CMV infection and MTB infection. Which is the plasma levels of some cytokines and chemokines. So what I want to do is to find if we can verify it in the mice model. Yeah, because the evidence for the cytokines and chemokines are kind of controversial because we cannot have too much of them because they can lead to the inflammation, which can like increase the risk of TB disease. We can also don't have them because they are very critical for the immune response against MTB.
Yeah, like I think people that are treated with anti-TNF antibodies for immune, like autoimmune conditions, and that sets them up at risk for their MTB to reactivate. If there's too low levels of TNF alpha. So yeah, I guess it's...
Yeah, and they also found like some people are treated with anti-PD-1. So which can increase the level of TNF-alpha, which can also increase the risk of TB disease. Yeah, so there are many controversial evidence around this.
Yeah. Yeah, and then maybe my last question is, have you read anything in like the field that you're really excited about or like anything linked to CMV or TB that you think will be a really interesting development to look out for?
I think the most exciting results for the TB vaccine is, so as I mentioned in the first phase 2B trial of TB vaccine field, but later there are two other phase 2B TB vaccine, which is, the first one is the M72, and its protection efficacy against TB disease in the adolescents is around 50%. I have to mention the adolescents has already been latently infected with MTB, but they do not develop any TB disease. And they found the M72 AS01. The AS01 is the adjuvant in the GSK. So their population is latently MTB infected adolescents, and the protection of efficacy against TB disease is around 50%. And the other trial is in the MTB uninfected adolescents. So in this trial, they tested the BCG revaccination, and they found the protection efficacy is also around 50% against sustained MTB infection. So, yeah, what I mean sustained is the way to detect MTB infection is to use the QuantiFERON. So to detect the MTB specific T cell response. So the sustained MTB infection means two consecutive positive for the QuantiFERON response.
Okay, great. And maybe if people want to find out more about the research you're doing specifically, where do you suggest they go, like find information about it? Just like on the Jenner website, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem.